Living on a boat is significantly cheaper than living in a house.
I am absolutely fully off grid off the boat. For about 80% of the year, I can rely on just solar alone. We have a reverse layout, so this will take us straight down into the galley. I love the layout, it's so open and it just makes it feel that much bigger for such a tiny space, because she is only about 6 foot wide. It's given me a way just to live differently and move myself away from that normal idea of what success is. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks anymore. It's about what me and the boys want, and that's it. So welcome to my 50-foot narrowboat home where I live with my three children. Come and take a look inside.
All right, guys, welcome back to another video. Today we're meeting up with Andy, a single dad who's living full-time on a boat with his kids.
We get a full tour of the outside and the inside, and we get to see exactly how he makes it work living with four boys on a boat. We hope that you enjoy the video. Let us know in the comments what you think, and if you like it and want to see more content like this, then make sure you're subscribed. Back to it.
My name's Andy. I live on a 50-foot narrowboat with my three children, Oliver, who's 14, Thomas, who's 10, and James, who is 7. I've lived on a narrowboat for about 5 years myself, and then about a year ago, my boys lost their mum. Their mum tragically died quite suddenly, and so they came and moved in with me, and we've been living as a family on two boats ever since. Yeah, so before I lived on the boat, my life was quite different. I lived in a four-bedroom house. We had kind of a pretty big house, nice big drive, garage, garden, the whole traditional idea of success. I was working as a photographer at the time and running a pretty successful business. Unfortunately, again, grief has been a big part of my life, and I lost a little boy. My son was 22 months old and he died in an accident very suddenly. And my idea of success just changed overnight, and I decided I didn't want to spend my life working. I wanted to find a lifestyle that meant I could be more present and more intentional, and accidentally stumbled down the canal and found boat life. There's obviously a financial benefit to living on the boat. It's certainly a much cheaper way of living, and it just means that I can work less. It's not necessarily working less, it's about working on projects that I'm more passionate about and not having to work that 9-to-5 job, and still afford what I think is an amazing life of freedom. There's also a draw for me towards this more nomadic lifestyle, and I think the boat life is one of the few nomadic lifestyles left that's accepted, and that we're allowed to be here, we're allowed to be out on the canals, we pay our license and we can move around where we want, and we have access to over 2,000 miles of canal without being moved on like van lifers are and kicked out of car parks or frowned upon for whatever that nomadic life might be. Living on a boat is significantly cheaper than living in a house. Beforehand, my mortgage payment was around £650 a month, which I think is quite a small mortgage these days. And I would say my total outgoings living on a boat are around £500 a month in total across the board, including my license, my gas, my fuel. It's just cut my living costs down so dramatically. And as someone that's now a full-time dad, it just means that I can actually be present and be a parent and not have the system raising my children. I'm the one raising them, and I get to just do things with them. Before, my life was spent working in order just to pay every bill possible. Now life is about being present and not worrying about my next paycheck and not having to just constantly grind to live. But yeah, significantly cheaper living on a boat. So welcome to my narrowboat, Inchy. She's a 50-foot narrowboat built in 1972. And hello, you're right. She was well out of my price range at £38,000. I was looking for something a bit smaller and a bit cheaper at the time. And I was introduced to Inchy as a boat that was going to be a bit dated and a bit old-fashioned. And I absolutely fell in love with the old-school cottage feel that she's got. So at the front of my boat is my garden. I tend to grow a few basic vegetables, peppers, chilies, strawberries, and some plants just to brighten her up a little bit as well. One of the things actually I miss living on a boat is having a big garden. It's the only thing I would say I miss. So the ability to still be able to grow some basic things in pots is really important to me. It's not the prettiest of gardens, but it does the job.
All right, guys, a big thanks to today's sponsor, Jackery. This is the Jackery Explorer 2000 V2, the perfect solution for my year-round off-grid setup, keeping everything running day in, day out. It packs loads of useful features and it's super powerful. It's got a 2,042 watt hour capacity and a 2,200 watt output and loads of ports, so I can run everything from my 12 volt gear right through to 240 appliances all at the same time. Because of the high output, there's no compromise. I can cook on my induction hob, use high wattage items like my hairdryer, and power pretty much anything I need, all while not paying an electricity bill. I can charge it from solar, from the van while driving, or straight from the wall. In summer, it's mainly solar, but in winter, that big capacity means I can still last for days, even with limited sunlight. Through the cold winter nights, it's kept me warm and cosy, powering my electric blanket, keeping my lights on, and running the laptop for movie nights in the van. So whether you're camping off-grid, in a van, or looking for the perfect gift for your off-grid Valentine's this year, then check out Jackery. There's limited time discounts right now, so check out the link below. And thanks again to Jackery for sponsoring the video. Back to it.
This is the main well deck. This is kind of a little private area for myself. The kids tend to stay away from the well deck, and it's where I can come and have my morning coffee. And certainly during the winter, I spend a lot of time here because it gives me that sense of outdoors, but still a little bit of shelter and a little bit of protection from the harsh weather. But it's one of my favorite spots. I can look out onto the canal, enjoy a coffee, sit and do some writing, and just enjoy a bit of peace and quiet here away from the children. I've got 5G broadband throughout the boat, and that runs off an antenna and an aerial and into a router, which just takes a normal 5G SIM card, but gives me pretty fast speeds generally wherever we are, thanks to the nice tall antenna that we've got up here as well. So one of the most important things we can have during the winter, a load of wood. I've managed to forage this over the past couple of weeks, and in the next couple of days I'll be getting the big chainsaw out and having a lot of fun chopping this up. I tend to use a mix of wood and smokeless coal. The wood I find burns much hotter but burns really quick. The coal tends to burn a little bit cooler but lasts longer. Does a boat get cold? Probably, again, one of the most common questions. It is absolutely boiling in there. Generally, even in the absolute middle of winter, once I've got some wood going on the stove, it's windows open, doors open, it can get like a sauna in there. It is never cold on the boat. Unfortunately, my chimney's looking a bit worse for wear and needs a replacement this week because it's got some holes in it, which isn't the most efficient way of using it, but the fire's on, and doesn't it look beautiful as well once the smoke starts bellowing out? I think it's always really lovely when you look down the canal at the winter and see all of the boats with their chimneys going. Beautiful, beautiful sight. The roof ends up a bit like a garage really for liverboards. You can generally tell when people are living on the boat because you will see the roof piled with stuff, and this is really where I keep my coal, where I keep tools. The boxes that I've got on the roof keep kind of all my main power tools and things, and I can lock them up, but they also serve as solar panels as well, so my solar panels are the lids on there. So I am absolutely fully off-grid off the boat. At the moment, we're running about 500 watts of solar panels. For about 80% of the year, I can rely on just solar alone. As the days get shorter, I tend to have to look at other options. And I've also got a generator that I can run and dual alternators on my engine. So I can run my engine and it will charge the leisure batteries as well to keep that going. So altogether, it tends to keep us powered up. And with children, that's a high demand as well. The first solar panel that I put in, I built into a box, and that means I can have a lockbox for all my tools and things, but it also can still be angled up and lifted if I want to, which is pretty handy. High-tech piece of equipment there with a stick. The second panel is on a tilt permanently with some wood storage underneath as well, so it keeps the wood dry. Got good access to the roof as well with a little kind of step up, which is nice and easy, and we can get up and sit up here if we want as well. So Inchy is what's called a cruiser stern, which means we have this nice big back deck. That's great for when you're cruising with friends or the whole family. Everyone can stand out here as we move the boat around. But it also doubles up as a bit of a storage area and almost a bit of a conservatory with an outdoor seating, and just a real nice place to hang out in the summer if you want to as well. She's not the prettiest of boats on the outside. She could do a few touch-ups of paint and things now, but I really like the character. She's built in the 70s, and having that 70s feel is really important to me. I really love that. It's great. One of the first things we really needed to do when the boys moved in with me was to create a bit of extra space on the boat. And to do that, I decided to get my 14-year-old his own boat, and he has a 21-foot river cruiser that we picked up, and that's basically his bedroom. And personally, I think at 14 years old, having your own boat is pretty cool. And it just means as a teenager, he's got his own space. He can get away from his brothers, get away from me sometimes as well, I'm sure, and have a bit of privacy as a teenager. Raising kids in general is hard. Doesn't matter. I don't think it matters where you're raising kids. If you're in a house, if you're on a boat, if you're living up a tree, it's just hard work raising kids. So I'm definitely not going to say that it's an easy life living on a boat with children. There's then added restraints, space. You're on top of each other. Privacy is a big part of it. I no longer have my own bedroom, and it's difficult. It is really difficult. But the freedom that it gives them, the access to nature that it gives them, I just think is so healthy for children. My children spend so much time outdoors in a way that I think is lacking now in most children's upbringing. They're out on their bikes, they're climbing trees, they're finding sticks, they're causing havoc, and they're pretty much feral 90% of their life, to be honest. But it's hard work. It's not for everyone. There's a physical aspect involved in boat life that you don't get in a house. But being a parent, especially a pink single parent, is tough. It's hard work. Boat life for families isn't normal, and I absolutely accept that it isn't the norm, and I think people's idea of success is these days is very much about having like the nice house, the nice car, falling in line with certain milestones even throughout their life. And I feel like I had that for a while. When we had the big house, we had the nice flash car, and all of it was on finance. I couldn't afford really to pay for any of it without working every single day, so it's given me a way just to live differently and move myself away from that normal idea of what success is, which for me just totally changed when I lost my little boy. I was living a life where all I did was work for that 2 years. And there was a point where I felt like I'd worked his life away when he passed. And now being just out of that system and out of those traditional ideas of the steps I should take throughout life, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks anymore. It's about what me and the boys want, and that's it. So work has gradually shifted over the years for me, and I would say I do work, but I don't want to have a real job anymore. I've decided there's no real jobs for me. I want to be creative. I want to work on creative projects. I want to work on things that I'm passionate about. And I've been quite lucky now to start making content creation my job and make a modest living off being a content creator. I'm focusing on writing a book at the moment, which I'm hoping will be published in the next couple of years. That's the aim. And then I also run some passion projects. I run a men's mental health peer-to-peer support group, just try and work on being open and vulnerable and honest with the world. And if that can make me a living, then I'm really happy with that. My favourite part of living on a boat in general is the freedom. The fact that we can just move when we want, where we want. If you don't like your neighbours, just jump on by. But then also the community. The community living on a boat, even though we're nomadic and we move, I've never known so many people, so many of my neighbours in a way that I do living on the canal. When I lived in a house, I had neighbours I didn't even know their names, and they lived right next to me for 10 years. Here, I can move to a new spot and you can guarantee there'll be someone who I recognise and who I know. I move along with friends as well, and the community is just absolutely beautiful. They're so supportive, they're so helpful, and I've never found community like it. The worst part is emptying your toilets. There's the simple answer. Nobody wants to empty their toilets. And it's a boater's favourite conversation, what kind of toilets you use. And we have a real simple cassette toilet where we have to take it and empty it out. And it isn't pleasant. It's never going to be pleasant. And I don't care how many times I do it, no one wants to empty their waste. Simple as that. So welcome to my 50-foot narrowboat home where I live with my three children. Come and take a look inside.
So this is the cruiser stern of my boat, and this is where we would drive the boat from when we were on the move, but it also kind of doubles up as a bit of a conservatory and storage area for when we're moved, when we're not moving. It's got our shoes and a little seating area, kids' toys and coal, everything gets piled in here and keeps it out of the main boat. So here are the main steps into the boat. We have a reverse layout, so this will take us straight down into the galley where we cook and make all our delicious food. I am a bloody good cook as well, so it's just...
Oh, yeah.
So welcome to the galley. It's a really well-equipped kitchen. We've got a 12-volt fridge, a 4-burner hob, oven and grill, microwave and air fryer, which takes a lot of power, but with a 3500 watt inverter we can run pretty much anything we want in here. I love cooking, so this is probably my favorite space on the boat, and the kids like eating the food, so that's the main thing. So the boat has got a 400 litre water tank, and that is hot and cold running water supplied by a pump and a chlorifier. So the water is heated by the engine itself. I've also got a drinking water tap here, so that filters it through a three-stage filter to make the water a little bit better to drink. So the boat is pretty original from, I believe, from when she was built. She was built in the 70s, and it was described to me as being very dated when I first bought her. But I really love the cozy cottage feel that I get from the dark wood. I love the layout. It's so open, and it just makes it feel that much bigger for such a tiny space, because she is only about 6 foot wide. So as you come through the kitchen, you come to the main living space that also doubles up as my bedroom. When I first got this boat, she had a sofa bed here, but then once the boys moved in with me, I needed some space to sleep, and this became a full-time bed and sofa at the same time. Again, this is where we just kind of all hang out. We have the Morso squirrel wood burner here as well, keeping us nice and warm, and a Xbox and TV and everything the boys might want to keep them occupied as much as we can. Life on a boat with my three children is absolute chaos, and it is mayhem in here, and I spend 90% of my life cleaning and tidying. The good thing about such a small space, it doesn't matter how messy it gets, you don't take long to clean it up. There's not much here. When I moved onto the boat, it was a big process of stripping my life down and getting rid of things that I just didn't need. So we don't have a lot of stuff. Everything we have is essential, or, well, the boys would certainly think it was essential with things like Xboxes and stuff like that as well. But yeah, it's cozy in here, but we enjoy that. It's great. The boat itself is equipped with 240 volt electric via a 3500 watt inverter, which means we can run all our kind of standard appliances. I have a 500 watt Jackery as a backup as well, if that runs out or fails. And that's just an emergency situation for that one. Heating's all provided by the stove, and that is connected up to a back boiler, meaning it heats radiators both in the main living space and in the boys' bedroom as well. We've got a good sized TV which runs off the 240 volt electric and then connects through the Wi-Fi as well to provide us kind of all the usual streaming channels. We spend a lot of time here all together watching movies in the evening. So throughout the boat, there's kind of pockets of storage absolutely everywhere. You have to make use of all the space. So under the bed is storage, cabinets, wardrobes. And you do just have to be a little bit creative to make sure you use kind of every pocket of space to store everything you can. So as we come through the boat, I have just a nice little storage area. Again, it's a bit tight, but lots of plants and a little bit of life here as well. And that leads us straight into the toilet and shower room, which is a very tiny, tiny room in here. We've got a full-size shower with hot and cold water, nice little sink area, and then I use a porta-potty cassette toilet. It's the most convenient and easy option for me for the toilet. I would say I've tried every toilet option out there, and it just means with a porta-potty, you take it apart and you take the bottom of the toilet to one of many emptying points along the canal, empty it out and start again. You have to be cautious of your water use, because obviously the more you use, the more often you have to fill it up. But the shower just works really, really well. And the fact that it's a full-size shower is actually quite rare. A lot of boats have these really tiny little showers, but I'm not a small guy, so I need the space in there for that. So as we come through the boat, we've got the boys' wardrobe here, and that actually doubles up a bit like their bedroom door as well, so we can give them a little bit of privacy and quiet as well if I'm in the living room watching TV while they're in bed. And then as we come through to the boys' bedroom,
Yeah, so we're right at the front of the boat now, and this is my two youngest boys' bedroom. Originally, when I bought this boat, this was my bedroom. It had a big double bed. It was absolutely huge and so comfy. But when the boys moved in with me, I decided to split this into two singles and give them their own room and their own space. And it's a nice, warm and cozy room for them. So we're right at the front of the boat now in the well deck. And again, this is like my chill out space, really. This is where I'll sit and work and write as well. I enjoy my morning coffee in the winter. And it's just a nice space that gives you that access to nature, but still gives you some protection from the outdoors in the bad weather. So I actually built my own water filtration system. And what that means is that I can filter the canal water itself into the main tank and use that for things like washing, showering, cleaning and so on. And that goes through six sediment filters and a UV filter as well. So it completely sterilizes the water, at which point we then add extra chlorine in the tank. And it means that the canal water can be used for all our daily use and it comes out perfectly clean. To build this system cost me about £300 rather than upwards £3,000-5,000 sometimes from some of the systems that you buy pre-made. And it was really simple, actually. They are components put together with a pump and with a couple of hoses, and it works exactly the same as any system I've seen available to buy. I absolutely love living on a narrow boat. There's, at the moment, I just couldn't imagine living any other life. The access to nature, the nomadic aspect of it as well, and the freedom that it gives me, and the life that it gives my children is something that I just couldn't imagine changing. And so long as I'm capable, I will continue to live on a boat. And a lot of people tell me they would love this lifestyle and tell me they couldn't do it for whatever reason, but generally speaking, I just think you can do it. And it's not for everyone. There is a physical aspect of it. You've got to be able to chop your wood and carry your coal bags. You're not necessarily parked right outside. It isn't whimsical and perfect all the time, but there are these moments where it's so magical and so amazing that if it's something you've considered, go out and hire a boat, try the lifestyle, spend a couple of weeks out there on holiday or whatever it might be, and it's an incredible way to live. I absolutely love it. For me, the most frequently asked question is about schooling and how we get the children to school. And the reality is, because we're always on the move every couple of weeks, two of my children go to a mainstream primary school. And it really isn't as difficult as people think it's going to be, so long as you have access to a car and you plan your route throughout the year. So I tend to stick relatively close to school during term times, and then we aim to get our distance done that we have to do as part of our license in summer holidays and such. I've also got my eldest son, who's 14, and he homeschools, so he is taking an unschooling approach at the moment, where he spends a lot of time working on the boat. He gets stuck into the engine, he's fixing things, he's learning about politics at the moment, and really leading himself to educate in a way that he really wants to. But generally speaking, for the children in primary school, it's never more than half an hour drive, absolutely tops. This morning it was 15 minutes on the bike down the canal. So it just depends on where we are, but it really isn't as complicated as people think it's going to be. I often get people saying to me, I would really love to live on a narrowboat, but I couldn't do it. And there's often reasons why they're scared to access narrowboat life. And I think they see it as being something for someone else to do. But the reality is, with the low cost, it's really accessible for absolutely anyone to get involved. And the fact that there's that community, you don't need to know what you're doing. I had no clue about boats when I moved onto a boat at all. No clue. I had no clue how to cruise a boat. I didn't know how to use a lock. And there's just so many people out there that will just help and support you, whatever it is. If something goes wrong, if you have mechanical problems, you'll find someone that will help. And that community is what makes boat life so accessible. There is people out there that will always help you. I couldn't see myself not living on a boat at the moment. And now, who knows what the future holds? I do think that it gets more difficult with age. And if my health was to decline and the physical aspect of it became more difficult, then maybe I'd have to consider something else. I don't think I could ever consider moving back into traditional bricks and mortar ever now. This off-grid aspect of my life has just become so natural to me now. I couldn't imagine it. So yeah, thank you everyone for watching. I hope you've enjoyed looking around my home. If you want to follow us at Four Boys on a Boat on Instagram, Facebook and TikTok, then we're sharing all our lifestyle on there for you.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in there, and a big thanks to Andy for sharing his story with us and showing us around.
Make sure to check him out on the socials. All the links for that will be down below in the description. And we hope that you enjoyed the video. Let us know in the comments what you thought. And if you liked it and want to see more content just like this, then make sure you subscribed. See you in the next one.